15 years ago, we walked into your classroom, newly married, and I don't think anyone 13 years ago would have said that there was a day coming that you would be playing a piano and singing a song in a church that I am pastoring. So thank you. I appreciate you very much. And good morning again to everyone. Good morning online, Facebook, church family, and friends. We're glad you can join us even in that manner. And we appreciate you being here. And we'll be in Mark 8, verses 1 to 10, as we look at the feeding of the 4,000 this morning. Deja vu. Do we know that phrase? Deja vu. It is when you feel like you've already been through whatever's happening or whatever you are doing. It feels like it's happening all over again. You see this in sports when teams keep winning or maybe they lose big leads. It's the feeling where you say, here we go again. We have this in our lives as well. Maybe it's while raising your children or something at work, or maybe it's your routine drive to work or wherever you go. Same thing over and over again. Whatever it is, it's repetitive. And you see it. You feel it. Today, we'll see a similar story in the life of Jesus that's going to seem repetitive. It's going to seem like deja vu. It is not. Every text in the Bible has something for us, and we cannot simply turn the page. We're going to see the feeding of the 4,000 and apply what is happening to our lives in two parts. Jesus is compassionate, and Jesus is miraculous. Mark 8. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Mark 8. 1 through 10. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day again, and we thank you that we can come to this place and glorify your name through worship and through your holy word. Be with us now as we dive into part of your scripture and open our hearts and our minds to have what is in this scripture for us applied to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week, we looked at Jesus continuing to do all things well as he traveled out of his way to reach the lost. We noted that Jesus was now spending some time away from Israel and Jewish territory and is now bringing the good news to the Gentiles. We remember our map from last week. We saw his journey up to Tyre and Sidon and back around to the sea and down to the Decapolis. We also notice that this was good news to us because we are the Gentiles. Praise God for the gospel spreading to us. This week we're going to see another miracle performed by the Son of God, and this one is going to seem quite familiar. This week Jesus is feeding the 4,000, and the disciples will show that they are still confused. Let's dive in. Jesus is compassionate. Before talking about what this text is, let's first talk about what it isn't. It is not a repeat of the feeding of the 5,000. Some would even say it's the same miracle told differently. This is not the case. First, we see the numbers are different. 4,000 versus 5,000. 7 loaves versus 5 loaves. 7 baskets of leftovers versus 12. The encounter itself lasts over 3 days this time, where the previous miracle was confined to 1 day. We also see that the location is different. We're currently in the Decapolis, and the miracle we covered a few weeks ago was in and around Bethsaida to the north. Lastly, Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples this week. And in the miracle we covered a few weeks ago, he disappeared to pray, and then he walked on water. So our stories are different, and we should not simply gloss over this miracle like we already know what is happening. So what is happening? Jesus is being compassionate. We looked at the deaf man last week and how Jesus helped him. But Matthew gives us some insight into just what's going on in this area. Matthew 15, verse 29. Jesus went on from there and he walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up to the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. This is where we are in our text. Jesus is on a hillside with people from all over this area, bringing their needs to them and glorifying the God of Israel. Keep in mind that we are still in Gentile territory. This people glorifying God are not the people of God. They are not Israel. So these people are swarming this hillside and are being healed and are glorifying God, and our text tells us that this has been going on for 3 days, and they are hungry. 3 days. Can you guys name anything you've done for 3 days straight without stopping and without eating? Maybe a retreat or a camping trip or a hospital stay. Maybe even a Netflix binge. Whatever it is, we likely had breaks or food, and we were likely not surrounded by 4,000 people. We talk about needing a revival for Jesus in this country and in our community and even in our church. We know people need to wake up and be reignited with a passion for their God and Savior. You want to talk about a revival, just take a look at what's happening in our text. Thousands of people who do not know God sat gathered for several days, having their needs met by Jesus and praising and glorifying God along the way. Can you imagine what this looks like? Can you imagine what this feels like? Now let's ask ourselves another question. Have you ever felt this in your life? It might have been some sin being removed from your life. It might have been some revival stirring in your soul. It might have been some health matter being resolved or you coming to peace over it. Better yet, maybe it was the day that you met Jesus for the very first time, just like these people here. This man lived for you and died for you and defeated death for you. And when he entered your life, it was changed forever. Whatever it was, all believers share this same experience of being lost and then being found. Being apart from God and then being with God. This is what has happened on this hillside. Unbelievers rejoicing because they have met Jesus. As Christians, we have felt this joy they are feeling. And we should be helping others feel this joy as well. Next, the miracle continues with another feast. Jesus is miraculous. Before we get to the miracle, we need to note something. While all these people are meeting Jesus for the first time and glorifying God for the first time, the disciples are doing something else. Jesus says these people are hungry and are too far from home, so we need to feed them. And the disciples say, well, that should be easy since you just did this a few weeks ago. Let's go. Nope. And his disciples answered him. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? Matthew says, where are we to get enough bread to feed this crowd? Say what? You were there last time, correct? What do you mean, how? We can obviously see that the disciples are struggling. It has been a while since the feeding of the 5,000. They have since traveled around the sea and took a 120-mile round trip away from the sea. So some time has passed, but let's be honest. You don't just forget something like that. They are not saying here that they do not remember this from before. So what is going on? It could be that they are too hungry and too frustrated and are just answering from their emotions like everyone else. We've all been there. Or maybe they do not yet expect a miracle from Jesus every time there is a need. I assume there have been needs that they have had to take care of without the miraculous intervention of Jesus. We would hope they are saying, Jesus, you can just take care of it. All of these are logical. But I think it is something else. Remember, our disciples are struggling with their faith. We have been shown this for several weeks. It's been revealed that they are confused and they are doubting, and now they have their hearts begin to harden. We looked at this. I think about the Israelites wandering the desert. They praise God for freeing them, and then they get to the Red Sea, and their path is blocked, and the Egyptians are closing in, and they say, why did you free us? We are going to die. And then God saves them. Then they get to the wilderness and they have nothing to eat. And they say, we are all going to die. And then God saves them. This is what I see when I read about the disciples. They reveal their humanity and their fears and their sinful nature at every turn. And I thank them for it. I praise God for giving us an example of a group of men that are fallible and fearful and doubting and yet still used by God in a magnificent and miraculous way. If these disciples can see Jesus feed thousands of people or heal the sick or walk on water and then doubt and still be used by God to spread the gospel, then so can we. Amen. Now for this miracle feast. Jesus has everyone sit down and he gives thanks and he passes out the 7 loaves of bread and a few fish to 4,000 people. All ate and all were satisfied and there was more left over than they began with. want you to see a couple things in this miracle. First, Jesus is the bread of life. And he is this bread of life for all people. We have mentioned this bread of life reference a lot recently, and it comes from John, shortly after the feeding of the 5,000. Some Jewish people have gathered and asked him questions, and he responds. John 6, 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven to give life to the world. Jesus is this life of the world, and he is this bread from heaven. Amen? Amen. He is also talking to a Jewish people here about Jewish history, but in our text today, he reveals himself to be the bread of life for all people. These people on this hillside were not followers of God until today. They were not worshipers of God until today. Now those who were once lost have now been found, and they have taken in the bread of life, and they have been satisfied. Have we been satisfied by Jesus? Secondly, look at who passed out this multiplied bread and fish to everyone. The disciples. Jesus did not look at them and their disbelief and turn away. He did not send them to the corner to think about what they have done wrong. He could see their lack of faith and their lack of vision, and he called them to himself, and they took part in the miracle. These disciples, with their lack of faith and their hardened hearts, and their confused minds were still used by God. Just think about the reactions of the disciples over the last several weeks together. They've almost gotten used to the idea of Jesus healing people and casting out demons. They have even done these things themselves. Then Jesus calms the storm, and they say, who is this man? Then they stand in front of 5,000 people and say, no one can feed them. Then they tremble in the waves as Jesus walks on water, and their hearts begin to turn away. Now they stand in front of another group of hungry people and are dismayed by the task at hand, even though they have already witnessed Jesus do this very thing. I think if we read much of the Gospels at all, we often find ourselves shaking our heads at what the disciples cannot see and cannot figure out. First, praise God that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. It has not always been the case. At some point in every one of our lives, we would have read these stories and then turned the other way. Secondly, remember these disciples and their lack of courage and their lack of faith in these moments when you run into moments of your own. It is going to happen, or it has happened already. With the shape of our country that it is in, you may be experiencing these things right now. That moment in your life when you think you cannot handle anymore. That moment in your life where faith is replaced with confusion and fear and doubt. When the suffering of this world is too much and fear has seized you, remember that the disciples were full of fear and faults and doubts, and Jesus never let them go. Jesus was there for them, and he is there for you. The Good Shepherd never lets his sheep go through it alone. Being a Christian means, just like the disciples, you have faith and you follow the Son of God, and you will fall short, and Jesus will be there every step of the way. If we need an example, let's take a look at Peter. We've all seen him be zealous for the Lord. He has dropped everything to follow this man named Jesus. A few weeks ago, he jumped out of the boat and walked across the water to Jesus. But in the very same moment, he let fear take his focus off the Son of God. In a couple weeks, we will see him proclaim Jesus to be the Messiah. Who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah. What a moment. Then by the end of our study, we will see this same man walk with Jesus all the way to the cross just to deny that he even knows him. This same man was a part of Jesus' inner circle and wrote two books of the New Testament. And most of what Mark gives us in his gospel are from his interactions with Peter. He had fears and doubts and moments of weakness, and he carried the gospel of our Savior all across the Eastern world. He has helped carry the gospel to you. Jesus never left Peter, and he will never leave you. Amen. Belief in Jesus means you have had your life changed. Belief in Jesus means you've been saved from hell and now have an eternity in heaven. Belief in Jesus also means that no matter what, he is always with you, and so is the church. Do not suffer and doubt as if no one else has ever been in your position, and do not go through it alone. As we close, remember what we've looked at today. We've seen the compassion and authority of Jesus on display, and we have a revival break out in unbelievers, and we've seen the confusion and doubt of the disciples. We've also seen that these believers, these disciples, could do nothing to turn their Savior away. All those who believe have the Father and the Son and have the Spirit inside of them, and it can never be taken away. As we finish up this morning, I ask that you search your hearts. If you're suffering or doubting in any way, please bring these things to your Father in prayer. If you can see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working in things in your life, then please lift up your praises. If you can see that faith in the Son of God is not actually something that you have ever had, this too can be taken care of today. In this very moment, acknowledge that you have sinned. Acknowledge that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and that now the only way to the Father is through the Son. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but all those who believe have been saved by the Son. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. If this is something you need to profess for the very first time today, please do not hesitate. Jesus is the miraculous Savior and sustainer for all those who believe in his name. Do you believe? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for this time we have together, this church family that we have gathering in your name to glorify and worship you. And I thank you for your Holy Scripture, that we can read it and dive in it and use it to help shape our lives. Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he came and lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross knowing the suffering that he was going to endure. And he went to this cross knowing this and did it anyway on our behalf. Father, you sent your Son to die for us and to defeat death for us. And all that you ask is that we believe in his glorious name. Father, help us now show this belief and show this faith to others we encounter today. In Jesus' name.